The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Now, hopefully, in the next few minutes, we'll try and maybe get a new insight into the lovely feast or the gospel of the Transfiguration. It's a big word. And so we just maybe go through some of the text. And the first thing we hear is that Jesus goes up a high mountain. Now, that always denotes in Scripture something very important about to happen, something high level, important announcement, or for example, like when Jesus went up the mountain and gave the Beatitudes. So something important is about to take place. And then we're told he takes three apostles with him, but he had 12. Why did he only take three? Well, maybe the others weren't old enough to appreciate what was about to take place or about to happen. And then we're told, while he was up there, his clothes became dazzlingly white. And white, we know now from the science of color, is a combination of all colors, so nothing is excluded. That happens to be a very important point in the gospel this morning. The combination of all things, nothing to be totally rejected, so to speak. And it was so white, it became as light. And then we're told, now, you got to go back for a moment and remember, in the time of Jesus, most people, well, did not know how to read or write. And so the message was conveyed through storytelling and image. So I want you now to create an image in your mind. Jesus standing on the mountain in the middle, and on one side was Moses and the other side was Elijah. And Moses represented, he was the first of all the leaders of Israel. He represented law and order. He was the one that brought down the Ten Commandments. He represented law and order. And on the other side, Elijah was the archetypal Jewish prophet. The archetypal Jewish prophet. And he was a prophet. He critiqued law and order in order to apply it. So in the middle you had truth, and Elijah was, so to speak, critiquing the truth. Now, how does that apply to us here? Well, Jesus then, you might say, was, for the use of a better word, was the synthesis between the two. So he was the combination of law and order and criticism of the law. So Jesus in the middle was truth, wisdom, compassion, forgiveness. So let's look a little bit more at that. While it's good to have law and order, and it's good to have a critique of the law and order, we cannot always reach the ideal. We cannot, you know, sometimes the law has to be refined a little bit, or we find, you know, we're all weak, we're all human, so we can't always keep all the laws and orders, all the commandments, so to speak. And on the other side, we have Elijah, who's like a judge. He looks at the two sides and works out, you know, a middle course as to arrive at the truth. Now, Jesus was in the middle between order and disorder, and to arrive at the truth takes time. It's often, you know, you go a different kind of road, and it requires not knee-jerk reactions. It requires thought. It requires being very truthful. And so giving knee-jerk reactions to something or yelling off the top of your head never achieves anything. But to achieve the middle stance requires wisdom. And if you can combine order and disorder and a genuine criticism of the law and order, then you're on the way to being a wise person. You're on the way to being a wise person. Now, you will find, hopefully, that as you grow older, you become wiser. And so looking at some of you here, you must be extremely wise. Wasn't looking at anybody in particular, but anyhow, ignore that remark. And there's an old Irish saying, and it's very, very, very true. You can't put an old head on a young shoulder. Isn't that very, very true? And it's got to be, you know, a gentle, compassionate, considered administering the law. So it means not throwing away or totally disbanding the old order, law and order, or going totally to the other side where anything goes. That's not right. It's the middle course. And so for example, many people get married with the best of intentions, and you find it doesn't work out. And so I presume many, I don't know how many, but I presume some of you sitting here are in a second marriage, does that make you bad? Of course not. It doesn't make you bad. But we respect the indissolubility of marriage, and we also respect that for some people it becomes impossible because of one partner or the other. So you've got to be, and in the middle we have, you know, the combination of law and order and disorder, order and disorder. Now, when the apostles see this, Peter immediately jumps up and he says, let's make three tents here. So right away, he's into division. He can't see the synthesis or the combination. So he wants to divide it. And that's the way the human mind works, either or. Well, it's never either or black or white. It's always in the middle. And that takes time. So that's why I say, normally you won't find wisdom in young people. It takes time to gestate. As you grow older, hopefully you become wiser. Maybe some people never become wise. Well, that's another thing. But hopefully, as you grow older, you become wiser. You begin to see things in a totally different way. And finally, he says to the apostles on the way down, don't tell anybody what you have seen. Because, you know, you've got to take time. It takes time to become wise and to see. So for example, if you look at our present situation here in the country, we say look at the two political parties. You have the Republicans, who normally respect law and order. Well, that's what they're supposed to do. And on the other hand, you have the Democrats, who are the ones who critique the law and try to apply it. Now, if you're, I don't know, out at dinner or you're at a cocktail party, you can quite legitimately say, the Republicans are half wrong and the Democrats are half wrong. Nobody has to hold truth. And that was the way Jesus saw things. He was both and. He was never either or. Jesus was a non-dual thinker, not a dualistic thinker. Does that make sense? Either or. He was always both and. And that comes through absolutely, totally in the lovely scene of the transfiguration. And when you look at it from that point of view, so you can look at any person. No person is totally bad and no person is totally good. We all contain good and badness. You know that, don't you? Yeah, you do. And when you can reconcile the two, that's very important. When you can stand before God and say, look, God, it's me again. I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to do my best. And try and reconcile the two. I always say, make friends with your faults. That's a good way to approach it. Make friends with your enemies. Much better than fighting, isn't it? And the more you fight against your faults, the more power you give them. So make friends with your faults and be conscious. I'm good and bad. I'm good and bad. You think I'm very good. I'm not. I'm good and bad. And we're all the same. And when you see yourself like that, the beautiful thing is you're going to look at
at everybody else in a totally different way. You're not going to be so quick to judge or condemn. Isn't that a fact? Huh? It applies that way. So there's a lot of to be thought about in the gospel this morning. Now, Dawn, we have a little job to do.